WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, January 30, 2017, we are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We plan on starting your week off with a bang here on AM 870. As we will dive into multiple topics as we try our best to recap the sporting weekend that was here locally in mid-Michigan and beyond. Of course, in just a moment, we will have full discussion and coverage centered around the big rivalry matchup that took place just down the road here from Studio S. The Michigan State men's basketball team playing host to Michigan and getting a win that snapped a three-game losing streak for the Spartans. You'll get to hear from multiple players, including head coach Tom Izzo and even head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, John Beilein. You don't want to miss that. We will also recap the upsets, the countless upsets that took place over the weekend in the world of college hoops, and we will invite Adam Biggers, MSU and U of M reporter for today's U Sports. Adam was in the house at the Breslin to witness that Spartan win. We'll get his firsthand take on it, as well as have a bit of a preview on signing day concerning the Michigan Wolverines football team and how this team will deal with the turnover from last season. And on the back end of the show, we'll play for you a feature on Ron DeLeon Productions. That's right. Ron DeLeon, local fight promoter here in the area, brought boxing back to mid-Michigan for the first time in 7 years. I got a chance to go to the Lansing Center on Saturday night, chat with Ron and a few boxers. A great crowd at the Lansing Center. We'll have coverage from that event, and we will also invite to our airwaves Jonathan Chun, who is doing a great job for us for a second semester here on Current Sports. He will bring to you an interesting beat that he will be covering throughout this semester. So that and so much more, a jam-packed show just like each and every Wednesday here on Current Sports. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team got back on track yesterday afternoon, beating in-state rival Michigan 70-62, the final, ending a three-game losing streak. That marks the fifth victory in a row over the Wolverines and now moves the Spartans to 13-9 and 5-4 in Big Ten play. How about that? Now, a trio of freshmen led the scoring for the Spartans, with Cassius Winston pouring in 16 points and Nick Ward scoring 13 of his own. Miles Bridges recorded a double-double by posting 15 points and 13 boards. Matt McQuaid showed some signs of his freshman form. Finally, we have a Matt McQuaid sighting, right? Going 3-for-3 from behind the arc. Those three-pointers coming at opportune times for the Spartans. Michigan State will return to the court on Thursday when they travel to Pinnacle Bank Arena to take on Nebraska, who is coming off an impressive 83-80 victory over Purdue. The Michigan State women's basketball team will take the court tonight to end its two-game road trip, trying to do that against Minnesota. The Spartans currently sit at 14-7 overall and 4-4 in the conference, with associate head coach Amaka Ogugwa still filling in for head coach Susie Merchant. MSU's all-time leading scorer, Tori Jankowska, is just 73 points shy of becoming the first Spartan to score 2,000 in her career. She is averaging 22 points per game this season and is coming off a 13-point performance in a victory over Wisconsin. Tonight's game tips off at 8 p.m. and can be seen on the Big Ten Network. On a big weekend when it comes to recruiting, Michigan State basketball extended an offer to 6'4" shooting guard Greg Elliott out of East English Village High in Detroit. Now, Elliott flew under the radar with five-star recruit Brian Bowen in the crowd, but Izzo attends his 42-point, 10-rebound performance on Friday night. Izzo was in the house for that performance. Very impressive stuff there. Elliott currently has offers from Marquette and Detroit Mercy and would be the only guard in Michigan State's 2017 recruiting class if he were to commit. DeWitt native and All-American punter Ryan Anderson is heading for the Big Ten spotlight as he announced over the weekend that he will finish his college career at Rutgers. Anderson formerly played for Division III Olivet College. He is coming off a season in which he set a NCAA Division III record by averaging 46.2 yards per punt, a mark that would have ranked sixth in D1. It's an important transition for him as he's looking to gain more exposure for a better chance to kick in the National Football League. Michigan State University announced over the weekend that MSU alumna Mary Helen and Craig Crooks have donated $1 million to Michigan State Athletics. The money will be used to endow scholarships to student athletes in men's basketball and football. Now, the donation was made in support of the Empower Extraordinary campaign, which aims to raise $50 million for endowments. With this donation, MSU is within the $5 million, within $5 million of that goal. Now, the money will provide a full-ride in-state scholarship to a student-athlete. The Detroit Lions lone Pro Bowl representative in Matt Prater did not embarrass himself in Sunday night's game. Prater drilled two field goals in the NFC's 20-13 loss, with Prater connecting from 42 yards and 46 yards. However, that wasn't Prater's most impressive moment of the weekend. In response to Baltimore Ravens Pro Bowl kicker Justin Tucker kicking a 75-yarder earlier in the week, I should say. Now, Prater, in response to that, posted a video on social media of him one-upping Tucker by successfully making a 76-yard field goal. I saw the video and I had to rewind it about five times. Insane stuff. Granted, both kickers used a kicking tee, but still, 76 yards, come on. That's insane, right? Matt Prater, he's pretty good. Let's put it that way. The Detroit Pistons get the national audience tonight. How about that? As TNT will broadcast their game with the Boston Celtics. It will be an 8 p.m. tip time at TD Garden, with the Pistons still in the playoff hunt, just 1.5 games in back of the final playoff spot. Boston, meanwhile, is second in the Eastern Conference, trailing LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers by just 3.5 games. The Pistons and the Celts have split their first two games of the season, with Detroit already winning in Boston in late November. I love watching Isaiah Thomas play. No, not Zeke. Not Zeke, the Boston Celtics, Isaiah Thomas. He's a fun, small guard, all right? So I'm looking forward to that game tonight. And last, this is an interesting story. American basketball players Joseph Jones and J.P. Prince are feeling the effects of President Trump's immigration ban. The two play professionally in Iran, but are reportedly stranded in Dubai after the country banned U.S. citizens in retaliation of Trump's executive order. Jones and Prince both share the same agent in Eric Fleschner, who said the players were on a team finance break in Dubai when Trump signed the executive order and couldn't return to Iran before the country issued its retaliatory ban. Wow. Strange world we live in, folks. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our airwaves, you know the number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even join us at Instagram Live. Just add me at Al3SPN, and you can watch the show that way as well. Or even tweet us. So, again, multiple ways you can join the show. Tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. so much to get to, and time is awaiting. Here we go. Michigan State losers of three of its last four, Michigan winners of three of its last four. Yes, the past is truly just that when discussing these two in-state rivals, and with the win for the Spartans this afternoon at the Breslin, they now hope this will be a game to springboard them toward the future of the season.
This could definitely be that, you know, that turning point game for our season, you know, and we're expecting it to be, you know. The last two games we've been playing with the energy and effort that we needed. We came up short against Purdue, you know, still some things we got to fix, but going forward into the season, we can keep that energy, keep that going, we'll be all right.
I think in life, everybody gets complacent, me included sometimes. And so sometimes, as somebody wrote me, it's okay to struggle a little bit. It makes you re-look at what's important and what you got to get back to. And I thought we had a good week of practice.
We have a lot of options, and if guys have their confidence up, then we'll be a really dangerous team to beat. So, I mean, like, Matt McQuaid, Aaron Harris, we all need them to do their part every single game, and I know they will for now on.
Also would like to note that head coach Tom Izzo noted how big of a difference the Izzo. That's right, the crowd. How big of a difference they made in this victory for the Spartans.
Somehow get all the sound bites on this. Our crowd made a difference. Our crowd made a difference. I mean, it's just the way it is. And I'm not saying they don't all the time, but it made a big difference. And players said at halftime.
Well, in less than 10 days, these two rivals will get it on once again, this time in Ann Arbor.
Whether it's 9 days from now or 29 days from now, right, it's going to be a heck of a challenge to beat them, as it always is.
Happy birthday to the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Hall of Famer, Tom Izzo. Yeah, it's Tom's birthday today. I didn't know that until I woke up today. I had no idea. Yeah, January 30th, 1955 is when the legend was born. He turned 62 years young today. So big shout out to Coach Izzo. I'm sure he's feeling pretty good today. After, of course, beating in-state rival the Michigan Wolverines yesterday at the Breslin Center. Happy B-Day, Coach. That's a good present, right? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We've got a fun-filled show in store for all of our listeners out there. If you want to be a part of the fun, 517-355-WKAR. If you want to give Tom Izzo a shout-out. Give your coach a shout-out, 517-355-9527. What a win, though, for the Spartans. What a win. Getting out of the doghouse and pulling out that dub over the in-state rival. Again, Sunday, the fifth straight victory for the Spartans over the Wolverines is the longest win streak for Michigan State in the series since Tom Izzo's squad won eight straight in the span of 1998 to 2002. Man, impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. And, you know, this was an interesting game because, you know, it's so hard to put a finger on the Big Ten this year. You look at what Michigan was able to do. And you just heard our post-game story after yesterday's game. If you want to check out the visual of that story, you can just go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. You heard the players and coaches of course, John Beilein, Tom Izzo, Cassius Winston, and Miles Bridges, who we interviewed after that win in the locker room. And, you know, you look at, you know, you hear what they had to say again. You know, my premise of that story was to sort of set the stage for both teams and how Michigan State seemed to be limping into this game while Michigan seemed to be trending upward. Winners of three of the last four approaching that matchup. Michigan State on a three-game losing streak. But again, records do go out the window when those two programs meet. You know, Michigan State, you know, and it's funny because, you know, looking at Michigan, they were coming off a 30-point win against an Indiana team that had beaten Michigan State earlier this year. Yeah, you know, it's so weird. I really can't put my finger on the Big Ten. It seems like everybody is beating up on each other. But a fun game to watch. The Breslin Center was absolutely packed. Probably the loudest it's been all year. And you heard Tom Izzo give props to the Izzone and every Michigan State fan that was in the house to witness that win. It got really loud. Especially, you know, I was looking at tweets because I was in the press room watching the game. Isaac, you were down on the floor. And, you know, I saw a bunch of tweets that were released after Miles Bridges got that and-one bucket where he pumped a fist to the crowd. And I saw Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal say, this is the loudest the Breslin has been all year. I mean, how was that moment? Because I saw a lot of tweets from other fans as well talking about how deafening it was in the Breslin Center when that happened. I could kind of hear it being in the press room at the Breslin, but I can only imagine. You were sitting on the court shooting that game for us, and I can only imagine how bad your ears were ringing after that moment.
Yeah, I don't think another game was even close this year, to be honest with you. It's Michigan week. You know, it's Michigan game. It is game time. Kids camped out, I'm sure, for 5-6 hours in the middle of a snowstorm to get these tickets, because I know that's what I did actually my freshman year. But and I actually didn't even get lower bowl. So, story. That's a tangent.
Just to be in the house, though, for that game.
Exactly. Yeah. It was exhilarating. It was such a feeling to be on the court for that one because
how
could
loud
feel,
was that moment though? I mean, when Miles went up for that and one,
you could hear the place shaking, ringing.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, was wondering.
You
yeah.
could tell, but the thing is, all the players they were screaming too. You could hear them at that time, not just the fans, but when Miles Bridges put that down. When most importantly, if you ask me, Matt McQuaid mm-hmm. hit his couple of threes, you saw the whole place lose its head, including the players on the court, smacking the court. They were all giving each other high fives, screaming in exuberance. They were all so thrilled to be a part of this game, especially the freshmen. There was no acclimation time. They were immediately thrust into it, and they knew how much this one meant, not only because it was a rivalry game. I know you and I will talk about the implications of this later, mm-hmm. but because this was a must-win game in all definitions of the term.
Yeah, well, you know, and you and I can debate about that because I still think that even if Michigan State would have lost this game, I still think that they would have had a solid chance. Still do. I mean, and you hear this talk about, you know, is Michigan State going to make the tournament? I still think that even if they lost that game last night, Isaac, heck, let's say they go to Ann Arbor and beat them later on down the road. They can still make the tournament even with that loss last night. But four straight does not look pretty at all. You can really possibly start to press the panic button a bit and really start to legitimately have the bubble talk. But again, Tom Izzo has done this 20 plus times. His teams make the tournament. I wouldn't have jumped off the bridge even if Michigan State had lost that game. But I want to bring up a few things in this game. And you know, you look at the numbers, the final numbers here, you know, in the final stat line for multiple players throughout the duration of this game. And of course, Miles Bridges is definitely impressive. I mean, heck, this kid is impressive every time I watch him play. 15 points, 13 boards for him. 7 of 17 from the floor. Miles Bridges is going to do what he does. One of the most talented freshmen to ever grace this program. One of the most talented freshmen in college basketball right now. Nick Ward, 6 of 6 from the floor. Did not miss a shot from the floor. He finished with 13 points in 16 minutes. You look at other performances such as Cassius Winston, 3 of 5 from the floor. He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line. How impressive is that, right? And in many regards, his free throws helped seal the deal for the Spartans down the stretch of that game. He finished with 16 points. Matt McQuaid, you mentioned Isaac, how he nailed. He didn't miss a three-point shot. 3 of 3 from behind the arc. He was 3 of 5 from the floor. He had 9 points, but they weren't quiet 9 points. Those 9 points came at points during the game where Michigan State needed a bucket because Michigan seemed to be rallying and seemed to be coming back in the game. And Matt McQuaid, he answered time and time again. And how about that one play, which Isaac, you did a great job of shooting it where, you know, you look at Miles Bridges coming down on a fast break. It looks as though Miles Bridges is going to try to go up and maybe get, you know, the hoop and harm. But Miles Bridges drives down the center and finds Matt McQuaid flanking to his right. Matt McQuaid nails the shot. Bridges loses his mind. The Breslin Center loses his mind. I mean, it was a really a momentum-shifting play. And, you know, props to Miles Bridges because Izzo talked about that play in the post-game press conference and how big that was and how Miles wants to see his teammates succeed more so than he does himself. And in the locker room, he mentioned that, you know, he wants to see his teammates thrive and how they need big games like that, big shots like that from Matt McQuaid and others. Just a big shot. You know, he had big shots all night for Matt McQuaid, a player who has been struggling this season. And, you know, for me, though, you look at all those numbers, all of those offensive numbers. But for me, the most impressive thing was Michigan State's defense. Michigan State's defense is what stood out to me in this game, slowing down a hot Michigan team that coming into this game was playing its best basketball. Michigan State held Michigan without a field goal over the game's final 6 minutes. Impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. The Wolverines shot 33.9% overall, 26.9% from behind the arc. Michigan State's past three opponents had made 32 three-pointers and collectively shot knocking on the door 50% from the three-point line. And Michigan State puts out a defensive effort like that. Michigan State's perimeter defense, again, Michigan is a primarily, you know, shooting team. I mean, that's what they do. They burn you from behind the arc and when it comes to mid-range jumpers. And Michigan State totally shut that down, especially in crunch time. Again, Michigan State holding Michigan without a field goal, a donut, a bagel over the game's final 6 minutes. That's how you win basketball games, folks. Defense wins championships. That old adage is true. And if Michigan State can play defense like this, and I know it's tough, because, and Izzo mentioned this in his post-game presser as well, the Big Ten is so different from game to game to game, right? Teams show you different looks. Team personnel from top to bottom is different depending on the matchup, depending on the game. You look at a Purdue team. Michigan State, of course, lacks size. And you're going against twin towers such as Caleb Swanigan and Isaac Haas, right? Michigan State can't match that size, and it burned them time and time again against the Purdue Boilermakers. Well, Michigan doesn't have size like that. So it bodes well, more so, when it comes to matchups defensively for Michigan State when playing Michigan as opposed to a Purdue team. They didn't have to, you know, worry about a 7'2" big man, right? But overall, the effort, you saw the effort there. You saw guys communicating. You saw guys switching on screens. You saw guys contesting shots and getting a hand up. That effort was there, and it was so impressive throughout that entire game. One player I do want to call out, and when we invite Adam Biggers to the show, Adam Biggers, U of M and Michigan State, beat reporter for Today's U Sports, Adam is going to elaborate more on this because he posed a question to Tom Izzo after the game yesterday in the post-game press conference concerning this player, that being Derek Walton Jr., who was impressive. He was impressive for the Wolverines. Derek Walton Jr. actually finished with 24 points, 9 boards, 5 assists for Michigan. And he was that player. Whenever it looked like Michigan was going to get blown out, when Michigan State started to rally and get on a run, it's like Derek Walton said, give me the basketball. I am going to attack this defense and see what I can get at the charity stripe. And that's exactly what Derek Walton Jr. did. The bulk of those 24 came at the free throw line. He was 4 of 12 from the floor, but 14 of 15 from the free throw line. So not only did he just get there, but, you know, he made sure that the ball went in the bottom of the net when he did get to the charity stripe. 24 points. You know, he crashed the boards as well. Again, 9 boards and 5 assists. That's impressive stuff. Impressive stuff. And the big component to this, you look at Derek Walton's numbers and say, okay, that's impressive, but he didn't get much help. That's the thing here. Behind Derek Walton Jr., the second leading scorer on the team yesterday afternoon, I should say, was Morris Wagner, who had 10 points. Wagner was great. You know, I must say, I mean, the kid can ball. 4 of 6. 10 points for him, 8 boards, impressive stuff. I was also impressed with DJ Wilson during stretches of that game. Now, he may have been 0 of 4 from behind the arc and you know, 4 of 12 from the floor, but DJ Wilson showed a few things in that game that I really liked. He's athletic. He had his hands full when trying to guard Miles Bridges. I mean, that's a tall order for anyone, let alone Wilson. But, you know, I like DJ's game. Solid player. But one of the big headliners coming out of this one was that Zach Irvin was not healthy, dealing with the flu. Didn't practice coming into this game, and it showed. Zach Irvin just didn't seem there. 0 of 8 from the floor. Now, granted, again, props to Michigan State's defense, but when you looked at Zach Irvin in that game, he just did not seem 100% health-wise. 0 of 8 from the floor. 0 points. Zach Irvin is consistently among the leading scorer for the Wolverines, and he just wasn't there. So I think what we'll see in Ann Arbor in less than 10 days is going to be a different Michigan men's basketball team. I think it's going to be a more competitive game. I think Irvin is going to show up, but this was a win that Tom Izzo and the Spartans needed just to get some confidence. Just to sort of temper the panic that Michigan State fans everywhere had if Michigan State didn't get this win. This is much needed. Much needed. A good win for the Spartans as they now play the next two on the road. Isaac, final thoughts before we bring on Adam Biggers to the show?
Yeah, I thought that this game was ultimately MSU's best of the season against a opponent that I wasn't sure which way it would turn, because Michigan has size, Michigan has guards, just as importantly, that crash the glass. Zach Irvin, traditionally excellent in that category, as is Derek Walton. They totally silenced Zach Irvin. I have never seen a more quiet game from somebody. 30-odd minutes, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 3 turnovers. That's defense. I'm sorry. I mean,
but
the guy
can
have an off game. Yes.
When I looked at him in that game, Isaac, I mean, he was lethargic.
He was just kind of going through the motions.
He
was not totally in that game. At the same time, Michigan has backup options. John Beilein did feel like Irvin was capable of playing that game at a high enough level. Otherwise, he would not have played during that game. Yes, he was sick, but MSU's defense was still stifling against Michigan throughout that whole game.
Not
I think the
any,
shooting
yeah.
percentage does show that as well.
Not to take anything away from the Michigan State defense, but Zach Irvin was not 100%.
Agreed.
Everybody could see that.
The other thing was MSU, the rebounding battle for once did not go against them. It was 33-32. That's a toss-up. Either way, one rebound does not make the difference in a game. Free throw shooting, end of the game, Cassius Winston. It was great for MSU. Really, Sparty looked better this year in that game than they have before. But at the same time, I'll say the same thing that I said against Minnesota. Because don't ride too high, don't ride too low. You have to be composed, even keel, over the course of an NCAA season. Because the thing is, after Minnesota, everybody was saying, wow, what a good team. And I'll toot my own horn because I did urge at that point. I said, you know what? Sometimes you have a team's number. Sure enough, after that MSU three-game losing streak, I'm not saying that this couldn't be a turning point for this team. Once again, it's one game. Let's see how they progress because they can't act like they're hot. They can't act like they have momentum. They have to act like this is the standard. This is the least that they can expect. Otherwise, this team will finish at a similar pace. And you know what? That won't be good enough come March or come April.
Thursday at Nebraska, a 7 p.m. tip time on national TV. ESPN, Nebraska, a team. Yeah. Beat Purdue. I can't read the Big Ten right now. I mean, it's so everybody's beating up on each other. I just don't know how this thing is going to pan out at the end of the Big Ten season. Well, we hope that Adam Biggers can give us a bit of clarity after we hit this first break. Adam Biggers, U of M and Michigan State beat reporter for today's U Sports, will join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. So glad you guys could join us on this Monday afternoon just to break up the monotony of it was a tough weekend. For those that tuned into the news, you guys know what's going on. I won't even elaborate much on it, but, this is why I love sports, because you can just get away from everything that is everything wrong happening in the world for at least a few hours, right? And I'm seeing here that a lot of people have been weighing in on the travel ban from President Trump. And Stan Van Gundy, who is known for not biting his tongue, especially when it comes to this past election, right? Stan Van Gundy, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, he's issued a statement on the travel ban. This is what SVG had to say today. This is coming from Rod Beard's Twitter page. Rod Beard is a beat reporter for the Detroit Pistons for the Detroit News. This is what SVG had to say. He says, quote, "We are getting back to the days of putting the Japanese in relocation camps, of Hitler registering the Jews. That's where we are heading. It's just fear-mongering and playing to a certain base of people that have some built-up prejudices that aren't fair. There's no reasonable reason to do it if they haven't been responsible for a single American fatality. How is doing it making us safer? That would be the question, and the answer is that it's not. But to some people, it sounds good. And if you have a prejudice against Muslims in general, it sounds really good to you." End quote. Again, head coach of the Detroit Pistons, Stan Van Gundy, weighing in on the travel ban. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call to be a part of our airwaves. Again, you can weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. I want to read a quick comment. This comes from our dear friend and listener, Ben Grimes, who actually was our ticket winner for the Michigan State and U of M game. We gave away tickets to that game on Friday's show. Ben weighs in and says this, quote, "Hi, Al. I thought that the Michigan State defense was stout yesterday against Michigan, and I thought that the free throw shooting was a lot better than it had been throughout the season. I thought that we could have played better offensively at points because we had some mental turnovers that were caused by the offense rushing through certain offensive sets. To hold Michigan to 33.9% shooting from the floor was outstanding. The atmosphere was not electric, but it was a fun atmosphere to be a part of. I thought that we did a good job of taking what Michigan gave us as far as shots were concerned. I do think that we still have a lot to work on, going forward," end quote. So thank you, Ben Grimes, for tuning in and weighing in on this discussion. And, you know, again, it's just been a crazy, just to deviate really briefly here from all the rivalry Michigan and Michigan State talk, just a crazy week in college basketball, right? You know, I sat back, you know, watching a few games over the weekend, and, you know, I got some notifications on my phone throughout the weekend. 14 ranked teams suffered losses since last Monday's latest poll release in the Associated Press top 25, including 7 in the top 10. 3 of those teams in the top 25 found the loss column not once but twice. Crazy stuff. And just to give a brief rundown of it, number 1, Villanova went down. Number 2, Kansas. Number 4, Kentucky, twice. Number 6, Florida State. Number 8, UCLA. Number 9, North Carolina. Number 10, Oregon. Number 11, Butler. Number 12, Virginia. Number 14, Notre Dame. Number 16, Creighton. Number 17, Duke. Number 20, Purdue, as I mentioned, that lost to Nebraska. And number 24, Xavier. All of those teams fell in the last week of January. All top 25 teams. That's crazy, right? It's so hard. You thought filling out your bracket in previous years was tough? This year is truly going to be mission impossible. Just can't get a read on college basketball right now. It's just confusing. You'll lose your hair trying to figure this thing out. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, we are going to invite to the show a dear friend of ours. His name is Adam Biggers, Michigan State and U of M reporter for today's U Sports. Adam was in his house to witness that Michigan State win over the Wolverines yesterday afternoon, and it is our pleasure to welcome him to our airwaves right now. Adam, how you doing, my friend? Good seeing you yesterday as well.
Yeah, it was good seeing you too, Alan. Doing well right now, just gearing up for National Signing Day Wednesday and kind of sifting through some college basketball notes and everything, trying to stay on top of everything.
I know, it's really tough, right? A lot going on during this time of the year. And Adam, before we proceed, my man, I got to tell this story because, you know, when I saw you, we were in the press room and you walked by, and I was, of course, taking notes and preparing for my stand-up. And you walked by and you came back. You're like, "Hey, Al, how you doing?" And you were telling me how you got hit directly in the face by a baseball. And you showed me your eye. It was a bit red and a bit black. But, man, I'm just glad you're doing all right, dude. Can you just briefly, because it's kind of a comical story, but I'm glad you're fine, of course. But how in the world did that happen?
Well, you got to pay better attention in a batting cage, I'll say that. So it's kind of a screwing around a little bit. I still play baseball in the city league, and we're getting our little workouts and stuff started, and older guys like myself trying to get in shape as best as I can, and Yeah, you got to keep your eyes peeled at all time and make sure you're paying attention 100% of the time. That's pretty much the moral of the story.
For sure. We're glad that you're fine, Adam. And I want to dive into this game now. You know, really hard. You know, I just went through the big upsets in college basketball during the final week of this month. And again, just insane, right? Insane. And it's so hard to get a read on college basketball, let alone the Big Ten Conference. Were you surprised when looking at that game yesterday? Michigan, a team that you know came off a 30-point win over Indiana, winners of three of its last four. Michigan State, losers of three of its last four, won a three-game losing streak. Were you surprised with yesterday's result?
I was, Al. I thought that Michigan would go in there and win for a couple reasons, and you know, Derek Walton being one of them. I actually just wrote about it today. If you take a look at Derek's numbers, he's playing some of the best basketball, if not best basketball, that he's played since he's been at Michigan. And last night, you know, you heard Tom say that, you know, Derek has that it factor and that he's kind of got that way to rally his team. He said that he's a big fan of Derek and has been since he recruited him. So I thought, you know, given Derek's momentum, given the 30-point win over Indiana, and we're talking about a front court too that, you know, surprisingly, other than a couple little mix-ups with Nick Ward, I don't really feel like Mo Wagner really had much of an impact against Nick Ward. I guess I anticipated more problems for Nick Ward. Nick Ward played a fantastic game, I think, and you're starting to see, Al, kind of little bits and pieces, I think, of what these guys can do. But at the same time, it wasn't necessarily that I thought that Michigan was heads and tails a better team going into this game. I just thought that, you know, maybe momentum was working in Michigan's favor. And some people believe in momentum, some people don't. But I really look at Michigan right now as a team that kind of got itself, you know, at least a little bit straightened out after beating Nebraska a couple weeks ago, 91-85, almost beat Wisconsin. In Madison, you know, that was a very winnable game. So they're seeing improvements, and even though they're 3-2 over their last five games, I think the Michigan, you know, there was reason to believe that Michigan could go there and beat Michigan State. Now, on the other hand, we're looking at a Michigan State team that was facing, you know, had Michigan State lost last night, it would have only been the third four-game losing streak in like the past 15 years. I mean, there's not many programs in the country that can say something like that. Michigan State doesn't lose, you know, for extended periods of time, obviously. So that was a big game for them last night. And, you know, we saw Cassius Winston. I thought that he was wonderful. I thought that Miles Bridges was really good, too. But I think one of the bigger takeaways from this game, and not only for Nick Ward, but Matt McQuaid. I mean, let's really give Matt McQuaid some effort or some credit there. And Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal asked a great question, and Izzo like the way that he phrased it so much that it kind of just cast the perfect light on Matt McQuaid right now is his willingness to shoot. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be the key. Last night, Matt showed zero hesitation. And, you know, Miles is going to get his. Nick Ward is starting to look a little bit more consistent. But Michigan State's still missing, you know, that solid option. You know, Aaron Harris isn't a very consistent scorer. I mean, they need somebody on any given night to be able to do that. And Matt McQuaid, maybe he's not there yet, but I think that, you know, against Michigan, like I said, zero hesitation. He looked really confident. I have to believe that was a huge game for him in terms of just, you know, personal momentum.
Again, Sunday was the fifth straight victory for the Spartans over the Wolverines. You touched on a few things there, Adam, and I want to bring up your question that you had for Coach Tom Izzo concerning Derek Walton Jr., and you asked him whether or not there was a moment throughout that game where you knew he was going to have a big game. Was there a moment for you when watching that game and evaluating Derek Walton's performance? Izzo brought it up. He didn't light it up from the floor. He was 4 of 12 from the floor, got the bulk of his points from the free throw line, 14 of 15 there. But was there a moment throughout that game where you said, okay, Derek is really trying to take over here?
Well, I guess I have to watch the way that I was rephrasing it, too, because Tom, you know, quick to remind me, he's like, well, not to be a jerk, but he did shoot for 4 for 12. It was weird, Al. And you know, looking and Tom made a lot of sense. It wasn't the fact that Derek so much like took over the game, But you were getting that little feeling that when he was getting to the line, I mean, and that's and just kind of grinding it out. And those 2 3-pointers, those 2 late 3-pointers, and just he just started getting to the line. And I wasn't necessarily looking at him like, wow, Derek Walton is going to take over this game. But it certainly was clear to me that Derek Walton was willing to take on all of the – because if he wasn't going to do it, nobody was, right? I mean, Zach Irvin shot 0 for 8. You know, he had missed 2 practices, Beeline said, due to the flu. So, I mean, I think Derek Walton knew at that point that he was going to have to do it. I don't know if there was one particular moment where I thought that he was getting ready to take over or, you know, kind of shoulder the load. But I do think, hitting those couple threes and as we saw, as Michigan was kind of chipping away at that lead, it was because of Derek Walton, 14 of 15 at the free throw line.
Adam, when these two teams meet again on February 7th in Ann Arbor, a pretty safe bet that Zach Irvin is not going to go 0 for 8 and be riddled by the flu again, right? I mean, and you look at his lack of impact in this game. I mean, Isaac and I were just chatting in the first break. Zach clearly looked out of it. We can't expect him to have that same lack of output when they play again, right?
No, absolutely not. And let's face it, last night, I mean, if Zach Irvin, and I mean, shooting 50% is a good night, but if Zach Irvin, you know, makes, let's say he goes 3 for 8 right there, maybe one of those is a 3, and then Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman or someone else contributes another bucket. There's really no other support for Walton. And you could point to a couple of what ifs, like, just like you just mentioned. Had Zach Irvin been healthy, maybe they get out of there. You know, maybe they win that game 72-70 or, you know, 74-72. But then again, if other guys are contributing, then maybe you don't get that performance from Derek Walton, and they lose by more than 8 points. Kind of a, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of deal. I would suspect Zach Irvin would not have this other type of game. I mean, it's going to be, you know, his last shot in a regular season game against Michigan State. And I have to believe, you know, Beeline was being criticized a little bit. I got some tweets last night about, you know, why'd Beeline play Zach Irvin? That's bad coaching. You know, he had the flu. Well, I can guarantee you that Zach Irvin wasn't going to miss that game. And John Beeline said that he had continuously checked with Irvin to make sure that he wasn't dizzy and, you know, things like that to make sure he was still able to play. So, no, long answer to a short question. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
No, I do not expect Zach Irvin to have another game like this against Michigan State. He can't.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Adam Biggers, MSU and U of M reporter for today's U Sports. Adam, do you think this is a turning point for this Spartans team?
I know that Miles Bridges was quoted as saying that could be a game that turns things around for him. Mm. But at the same time, you know, we heard John Beeline say that one game doesn't make or break a season for his team. I guess it differs perspective. If you win the game and you thought going into the game that it could be a turning point, then yes. I think that it could be a turning point had Michigan won the game too. So I do believe so. I mean, the Michigan State rivalry, regardless of what sport, I mean, these guys, and they don't even have to be from in-state. I mean, these guys know the importance of it when they're at each school. It's kind of, you know, ingrained to them, I think, from the very beginning. You know, you have rivals, Michigan State and Ohio State at Michigan, and you know, I guess you could consider Ohio State, but certainly Michigan as a rival for Michigan State. So I do believe that this is a turning point. We'll see, though, because, I mean, like you just mentioned, they're going to play again, and it's not too late. You know, we're only looking about 9 days away here. It wouldn't be too late for Michigan to get kind of a similar win either, because I believe they'll be playing Ohio State, and then Michigan State's playing Nebraska. So I have to kind of see how those games turn out. But as of right now, on the surface, yes, I would say that this would be a turning point for Michigan State.
Adam, I'm going to ask you to do Mission Impossible right now, and I'm going to make you Tom Cruise right now and try to figure out where in the world these two teams will finish when it's all said and done in the Big Ten Conference. Everybody's beating up on one another. I mean, you mentioned Nebraska, and Nebraska is just coming off a win over Purdue, a team that Michigan State fell to not too long ago. And they will meet, the Spartans and the Cornhuskers will meet this Thursday night. And, you know, just look at this entire landscape. I mean, it's so hard to get a read on any team in college basketball right now. But if you had to play, you know, Nostradamus here, where are the Spartans and Wolverines finishing out?
I mean, I think right now it's still kind of early to tell, Al, you know, because, I mean, but all it might take is a little run from one team. I mean, they're right on the fringe. I don't think either one is going to win the Big Ten championship. I think mathematically, you know, math is not on the favor of does not favor either team. Mm-hmm. You know, fifth, sixth place for both of these guys, fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. I would be surprised if either finished in the top four. I can say that.
I may have to agree with that. Adam, before we get you out of here, I have to ask about U of M signing day. First off, are they doing another extravaganza where they're going to have the unleashing of each recruit and going to have special guests come in? Are they doing that again?
Well, it'll be an event, but as far as I know, you know, like Ric Flair will not be in attendance. I don't think they're going to have Todd McShay. I don't believe that he'll be there again this year.
Okay.
I'd have to check my notes here. I'm kind of like trying to juggle between basketball and football. It's at the Chrysler Center. It's noon to 2. It is open to the public. You can get tickets. I'm sure there's information on mgoblue.com for that.
Wow.
It's still an event. It's not going to be as big as last year, you know, and I was hoping to maybe see the Squire brothers again, or at least one of them, Randy and right. I forgot the name of the other guy, but yeah. I love their Burger King commercials. So
they are great commercials.
It will be an event. You know, I don't think like the Migos or, you know, any special guest appearances by any rappers or professional wrestlers or NASCAR drivers or anything like that, but it'll still be an event nonetheless at Michigan, and it's a big national signing day for them, especially if you look at some of the local kids they got. Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Cass Tech. I mean, that's a huge get for the Wolverines. They need him.
You can say that again. Where does U of M rank right now on paper when it comes to those commitments that they do have embarking on next season?
Last I checked, and this was about a week ago, they were number five.
Number five, right.
And that was on 24/7. So, I mean, they'll likely finish, you know, with a – I don't think they'll have the number – they won't have the number one ranked class in the nation, but they'll have somewhere, you know, 3, 4, 5 range, a very robust, very respectable class, probably number two in the Big Ten behind Ohio State, I would guess.
Recruiting day just 2 days away. Adam Biggers, MSU and U of M reporter for today's U Sports. Adam, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Brilliant.
Hey, I appreciate it. Al, anytime, man.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports by playing a cool feature centered on local boxing here in the area that took place on Saturday night. And we also will invite live to Studio S, Jonathan Chun, one of our production assistants, who will be introducing himself to our audience, and he will give you a preview of what he will be covering for us throughout this semester. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Current Sports 2-Minute Drill, this weekend edition of The Drill. I'm your host, Al Martin. We're inside those doors here at the Lansing Center. Fight promoter Ron DeLeon has brought boxing back to mid-Michigan for the first time in 7 years.
I've always had a couple really good fighters, but not enough to fill a whole card. You know, and I took a break. I've been doing this for 19 years. It's actually my 19th year doing professional boxing and mixed martial arts. 2008, I started doing the mixed martial arts. I started dealing with a lot of MMA fighters. They had really good stand-up. So I said, you know what? That's what I had in the mix. I started doing our boxing again. Boxing has been my first leg. It was my passion, and I felt it was the time. So, and as you can see with the crowd, you know, the energy is the place to be tonight.
Ron, man, his name has been big for years now. And him putting on shows like this for the local guys to give us that talent to showcase our skills, you know what I'm saying? Lansing definitely was then, like when it considered with boxing and everything, boxing was really big in like Detroit, Grand Rapids area. For him to put a show on for Lansing, it's real big for us.
And who said boxing is just for the fellas? Yes, we got a chance to catch up with the only female undercard tonight, Holmes and Ferguson.
Fans like them better too. You know, girls throw it all out on the line. You know, you ain't pitter pattering out there. I mean, every punch has got behind it, man. I don't know. I'm sorry. My dad's a truck driver and I work at a plant. You know?
I love her. I do. When I lost to her, it was the hardest thing in my life. I cried like a baby. It was tough. But now, I mean, we just did it again and I'll be here. I'll come back and watch her fight again.
Third time, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like fighting a friend now, you know? I mean, it's been pretty cool.
Great job, ladies.
Do you feel in any way that you are pioneers for the sport and hold a responsibility to help grow it?
Yeah, I would love to see more girls out there. Love it. And I would love for everybody to bring up higher weight classes in UFC and lift gun.
Big girls can hit hard. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes, I want to give a big shout out to Ryan DeLeon, local MMA and boxing fight promoter, who held a great event. Boxing, bringing boxing back to the Lansing area for the first time in 7 years. You heard the voices of Ryan DeLeon, as well as Kevin Shacks, a local fighter here who is actually from Lansing. Went to high school here, grew up here, who has a 1-2 professional boxing record in the 140-pound division. And also Laura Ferguson and Melissa Holmes, who get down. Anything you can do, they can do better, right? I mean, they are fantastic. Female boxing is a niche sport for sure, but these two are so tough, and it was great seeing those two go at it in the boxing ring on Saturday night. They have fought now 3 times. How about that? Laura Ferguson and Melissa Holmes, big shout out to them, and they were great interviews. If you missed that report, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Before we close out the show briefly here with just a minute left, I want to introduce you all again, because he's with us for another semester, Jonathan Chun, current sports PA and beat reporter. JT, first off, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well. It was a good weekend. Glad to be here.
I want you just briefly here to tell us what you will be covering throughout the semester for us.
So I will be covering the Demmer Shooting Sports Training and Education Center. It's a cool little place, opened in 2009, so they've got archery and guns, obviously rifles, and it's all safe, family friendly. So it'll be interesting.
Looking forward to some features from that beat, which is a different one. We always love bringing interesting features to the show, so appreciate that. I've got one weekend winner for you, Isaac. My man Roger Federer, at age 35, won the Aussie Open, his 18th major title.
Gonzaga 22-0, number one in the NCAA.
Bam. We'll see you tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon, same time, same place. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. You've been listening to Current Sports right here on WKER AM 870. Be easy, people.